A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brialso Lake puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Welcome on in, Cougar Tracks podcast powered by KSLSports.com. What a weekend of BYU sports. A lot to get to on this Sunday edition of the Cougar Tracks podcast. I hope you had a excellent weekend watching BYU football, basketball, women's soccer. A lot to get to on this episode of the show as we try to recap everything that took place in the world of BYU athletics. You can follow me on Twitter at @Mitch_Harper. Follow KSL Sports on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And also check out KSLSports.com and download the KSL Sports app for all the BYU content that we put out on the website. We had like 15 articles on Saturday. It was a lot of work. Myself, Kyle Ireland, we were putting out a lot of great content for you Cougar fans to consume on Saturday in a day that was jam-packed with BYU teams in action. And we'll start things off by talking BYU football. We'll get to BYU men's basketball and their setback against the San Diego State Aztecs. We'll also touch on the women's soccer team as they get ready for Selection Monday coming up tomorrow. But let's start things off with the BYU football team. And the Cougars defeat the Liberty Flames 31-24. And I'll say, hey, a lot closer than I expected. I really thought this BYU team was going to put down a beating on this Liberty team. And honestly, I felt that Liberty was going to get their points. They were about where I expected point total-wise going into this game. I thought about 20, 24 points. I thought that's where they would kind of be. But the manner in which they performed, they were a lot better than anyone was giving them credit for going. And I know the coaches were playing it up that, hey, this is a good team. And rightfully so, Liberty, a very solid football program, but still, there was areas where BYU, it was a little bit concerning at times too. Yes, they have a talented quarterback in Buckshot Calvert, and the wide receiver Gandy Golden was great, but still, BYU should have took care of business. They had a few turnovers that kept this thing a lot closer than it needed to be. But again, credit to Liberty and the type of program, the type of team they're building. And it's a testament to their coaching staff, Hugh Freeze. I mean, he's a good coach. He's not the greatest guy on earth. His days at Ole Miss, Arkansas State, he won. He won at unconventional places and had a lot of success. He took Ole Miss to a Sugar Bowl. So this guy knows how to coach football, and he had Liberty competing. And I'm very curious to see how they perform down the stretch against Virginia and New Mexico State. They need one more win to get to bowl eligibility. So it'll be interesting to see if Liberty can in fact do that, because they looked really impressive on Saturday night. And credit to BYU fans, a great turnout, I thought, a solid turnout for a night that was perfect weather for a BYU football game in November. Usually you get these November games and it's a crapshoot as to what type of weather you're going to see, but it was a perfect night of football. And BYU was far from perfect, no doubt about it. They did, though, offensively strike quick once again. First offensive series, the Cougars get on the board and tie things up 7-7, because they were down 7-0 against Liberty, and that was a bit frustrating to see for BYU, but the Cougar offense struck back. And, of course, quarterback Baylor Romney, he got the start. Now, It was interesting in the pregame. Zach Wilson was warming up, going through pregame. He was dressed in his uniform from head to toe. The only thing he didn't have on was his helmet on the sideline. He had a backwards Nike cap on while watching the game. I would expect that Zach Wilson's going to be back next week. That's just kind of my read on the situation right now. It feels like he has made significant progress with that thumb, and he's bound to return. But Baylor Romney, solid once again. 23 of 33, 262 yards, three touchdowns and one interception. And the interception was a costly one that kept Liberty in the football game, but he had some great plays. 262 yards, three touchdowns. You'll take that any day. He's now 2-0 as a starter for BYU. The Cougars threw for over 300 passing yards on the night, another 300-yard night passing the football, and the other 44 yards came courtesy of Micah Simon on a trick play to Matt Bushman.
Baylor goes under center with trips to the right. Center snap. Screen. Double throw. Simon downfield. Bushman makes the catch. 10, 15, 10. He's going to go in. Touchdown, Matt Bushman from Micah Simon.
That was a great play call. It was a little bit of a trick play. And was it discouraging for BYU fans to see that BYU needed trick plays to win the game? I don't know. How do you feel about that, Cougar fans? Tweet at me, at @Mitch_Harper. Is it a little bit frustrating that you had to take down Liberty with some trick plays? I mean, hey, a win's a win. You can learn hard lessons after a win. It wasn't pretty. It was an ugly game. But still, it's kind of a sobering thought to think BYU needed some of those trick plays to get it done to take down Liberty. That was one of the highlight plays, and that was fun to see Micah Simon complete that touchdown pass. Now, he took a hard hit. He got banged up. It was his right arm, I believe. He got nicked up, and it was taped up in the post-game press conference. Micah, he went through some wars, man, to get that ball off. But now he's got like a 505 QBR through two games. I mean, he's been doing a nice job passing the football, former high school quarterback, that being Micah Simon. Some other notable plays from the game. Sione Finau. Sione Finau had another nice night. 10 carries, 69 yards. But what was frustrating, and it kept the door open for Liberty in the third quarter, was a fumble that he had. Here's the call.
Baylor Romney in the gun. Sione Finau to his left hip. Again, Sione. And a great run from Finau once again. Oh, fumbles it late. And Liberty has the football. It was a good run till the very end. The ball was punched loose, and the Flames take over at their own 21-yard line. Bijor Wilson on the fumble recovery.
That was the opening drive of the third quarter for BYU, and it gave Liberty life. Liberty then moved down the field, scored a field goal to cut the deficit down to 17-10. BYU, though, then responded with a quick touchdown to put it up to 24-10. And Liberty, though, kept fighting back. I mean, they just kept going back and forth, exchanging blows. This Antonio Gandy Golden, he was great. That guy's a fantastic wide receiver. BYU at one point, though, got up 31-17 courtesy of a Moroni Lalulu-Putu-Tau touchdown. It's great to see for MLP.
Romney will go under center with Katoa, the lone setback. Tight end and wing back to the right. They motion, ignore that. Deep drop. Romney for the end zone. It is caught for a touchdown by Moroni Lalulu-Putu-Tau on the right side, and the Cougars go back up two scores.
That was MLP's first touchdown grab since the Wisconsin game last year, number 6 ranked Wisconsin, when BYU took down the Badgers. And great moment for MLP. He's got one home game left in his BYU career, and it's great to see him get back into the end zone because he's battled so many injuries, the Liz Frank, the ACL, the crazy surgery he had to go through to get back, the academic hurdles. Great moment for MLP. But, you know, again, going back to Antonio Gandy Golden, the wide receiver for Liberty, who I think is one of the best wide receivers in college football this year and should rightfully so be a All-American. The Buckshot Calvert Gandy Golden connection, they were dang good. It shows the value of continuity and consistency and having your regular starters every single game. 40 straight starts for Buckshot Calvert at quarterback, and him and Gandy Golden had a ton of chemistry. Gandy Golden had 10 receptions for 162 yards and a touchdown. And during the broadcast on KSL News Radio and the BYU Sports Network with Greg Rebell and Riley Nelson, they were making NFL comparisons for Gandy Golden.
Okay, so we're all dropping pro comparisons in here. I'm going to throw in a Larry Fitzgerald for you on this
one. Yes, I like that. A lot smaller booty, but similar skill set.
Yes! Riley is giving us some great drops, man. I'm loving some Riley Nelson in the booth because he's giving us some gems.
A lot smaller booty.
And also...
Oh, yeah, baby!
He's got a lot smaller booty. A
lot smaller booty. Oh, yeah, baby!
Gandy Golden, the next Larry Fitzgerald.
Lot smaller booty.
It's okay, though.
Oh, yeah, baby!
Keep it up, Riley Nelson, holding it down in the booth. Liberty, the following play after that NFL comparison conversation in the booth, Liberty cut the deficit down to 31-24.
Calvert in the gun. First and 10, Flames at the BYU 13. A direct sprint to the right. Looks back on a throwback left. The throwback is in the air. He's got a man in the end zone. It is caught by the tight end, Fouts. Will they call it a touchdown? They do! Touchdown, Liberty! Zach Fouts, and what a grab on the throwback from Calvert.
One of the notable things there on that touchdown, it wasn't Gandy Golden, and one of the reasons for that was because Diane Gunwoloku started defending Gandy Golden. Gandy Golden got most of his work done in the first three or so quarters of play. Diane stepped in and started covering him late in the third quarter. I remember they went through Isaiah Heron, Shimon Willis. Gandy Golden was attacking Willis, and hey, he's a freshman. It's going to happen. You're going up against an All-American and a freshman. Those are going to be battles. They're going to be very valuable for those guys down the road, but it was just a mismatch. And then they threw George Udo on Gandy Golden, and instantly Liberty was attacking that matchup, and Diane basically said, George, love you, man, but go to the sideline. I'm going to take this thing over from here. Bo Tanner then went to safety. But that was a critical move, putting Diane in Gandy Golden, because there were some targets to him after Diane started covering him where Diane was getting up in his grill and making things a lot tougher for the future All-American wide receiver. He was really good. I mean, credit to him. Liberty's got a heck of a talent there. He became the all-time leader in receptions in their program's history, and they seem like a program on the rise. But it was 31-24. BYU was on the ropes a little bit. They had to close this thing out. They had the lead, 6:35 left in the game. BYU took the ball, and their next drive, they had some crazy play calling that maybe left fans with some head-scratching moments. This was 2nd and 9, BYU in a scrum play.
And BYU looks at scrum formation on 2nd down and 9. From the Liberty 37. So Gunwoloku left wing, Wilgar right wing, Kafensis under center, Tonga is the tail. Snap Kafensis, toss to Diane, and they'll fall ahead for a yard or so, setting up a 3rd down and 7.
Yeah, that was an unusual play call, because I got to say, too, also what was kind of unusual in the first half, if you remember, BYU called a timeout before 3rd and 6. They come back out from the timeout on 3rd and 6. I'm thinking, okay, they took a timeout. They're going to want to take a shot downfield, or at least at a minimum pass the football to get the first down and move the sticks to not give Liberty a chance to get the football back. Then they did a halfback draw to Sione Finau, and it allowed Liberty to then call a timeout and get the ball back before the end of the first half. That was a little bit head-scratching there. Then this scrum play left you going, what was the thought process there? Two plays later, after the scrum play on 2nd and 9, BYU then goes to Katoa again on 3rd and 7 or so and comes up short. 4th down, BYU opts to attempt a field goal, and this is what happened.
From 47-yard line, it's a fake. They throw it Livingston to Oldroyd, and he's tackled behind the line of scrimmage, and Liberty will take over 1st and 10 with 1:27 to go.
My first thought when I saw that fake field goal, it was like Les Miles, Mad Hatter type stuff, because Les, when he was at LSU, he was known for the crazy fake field goals in big games. It didn't work for BYU, and it gave Liberty a chance late in the game to tie this thing up potentially. And this was Kalani Sitake in the post game on why he decided to go with the scrum play and then also the fake field goal.
Because I wanted to. Just wanted to see what it, you know, thought that we had something there, and I thought maybe it'd be close to popping, but obviously I was wrong. So they were ready for it, and it was probably not the right call. We had some things to go, but I felt like we could have got it. Yeah, I thought that was there too. So it wasn't. They did a good job. I had to look at it again, but it looked like we were a little slow on the snap, or the snap was low. And the timing was a little off, but we've practiced that for a long time. We've been practicing it, and we've been waiting for that moment to call it. And it seemed like a long field goal and kind of a bad position to really punt, you know. And so we either choices were either kick a field goal or do the fake that we thought was there. I thought they made the play, you know, and I thought we didn't execute it well enough. But I think the timing was a little off. I had to look at it on film. I didn't see it cleanly, but seemed like the throw was a little late and might have bobbled it, or it might have been a bad snap. But yeah, I like the aggressive call.
See, my thought on the second and nine on the scrum play was, I thought maybe they're getting a look on the defensive personnel grouping and how Liberty counters that scrum play, and then they'll bring it out on a fourth and short or something like that again later in the game, like they did against Boise State. So that was kind of my thought process behind it. And I thought fourth and two, we're going to see the scrum play again, but they went with the fake field goal. You know, it didn't work out. It worked out okay, though, in the end for BYU, as the Cougars eked out a win over the Liberty Flames. This was the final play of the game on fourth and 21 for Liberty.
Takes a shotgun snap. A three-man rush for BYU. Calvert releases, and it's incomplete near side. Downfield at the line to gain. It appeared that Gandy Golden had his hands on it and could not bring it in. We'll call it a pass breakup. It's a push in the back as the ball gets to him. It drops incomplete, and BYU will win it.
Isaiah Kafusi making a big play at the end there for BYU because, yeah, Gandy Golden, he did have his hands on the ball. He was open. It would have been a first down. He had the opportunity to move the sticks, but BYU came away with the win, 31-24. Was it pretty? No, it wasn't pretty at all. It was ugly. Even Kyrus Tung in the postgame said it was ugly, but hey, they'll take the win. And the thing is, too, is that BYU, -2 in the turnover margin, they still found a way to win. I would have told you earlier in the season that BYU, against any team, could not have a margin for error on that turnover margin because they just weren't having success offensively like they have in recent weeks. But that was a positive sign that they could still overcome the turnover margin and losing that and still come away with a victory, a quality win, I think, going forward. Because again, Liberty, 6-win football team, I think they're going to get their 7th when they take on New Mexico State. I'm very intrigued to see how they play against Virginia, I think in 2 weeks or so. Be curious to see that, because Virginia, ACC Coastal Division potential champ, I'm going to be intrigued to see how Bronco Mendenhall and his staff go up against this Liberty Flames team. It's an in-state game for them, so credit to Liberty, that program. I'm actually kind of excited to see the second game down the road in 2022 against the Flames. This is a much better program than the likes of UMass, than the likes of New Mexico State, than the likes of even potentially UConn when they likely land on BYU's schedule as an FBS independent as well. And after the game, the two programs, which of course are faith-based institutions, had a cool moment on the field. We put it out on KSLSports.com, the post-game prayer between BYU and Liberty, and this was Kalani Sitake on how that prayer came to be.
It was such a cool moment at the middle of the field when we were shaking hands. I mean, our players were really impressed with them, it's a unique game, and I thought, I almost would say the Liberty fans should be really proud of their players and the way that they competed, and I thought it was really cool for us to have that moment. It was just a lot of class and sportsmanship, and it was a competition, and in a violent game like BYU, I was like BYU and Liberty played tonight. I thought it was such a great example of what's great about the game too, you know. And that's a credit to the players and what they've done and the hard work. And at that moment when you're shaking hands, it was just such a cool thing. And we felt like, I think Liberty's getting ready to take a knee, and we felt like it would be good for us to share in that moment. They invited us to have a word of prayer with them, and I thought it was a really, really cool moment.
BYU now 5-4 on the season, 1 win away from bowl eligibility. Likely going to be headed to the Hawaii Bowl, but who knows? You know, anything can happen with ESPN and reshuffling the deck, maybe with a new bowl game or something, but I would expect they end up in the Hawaii Bowl and possibly face the Hawaii Rainbow Warriors on Christmas Eve. But a few standouts that I got to highlight from that game, Matt Bushman, who else? I mean, Bushman, what a stud. I felt like a little bit at times Baylor Romney was pressing a little bit too much to find Baylor Romney, or excuse me, to find Matt Bushman, excuse me there. He was pressing it a little bit too hard, but Bushman, what a great talent. Four receptions, 86 yards, 21.5 yards per catch. This guy's a big playmaker. He is a fantastic talent. Hope and pray, Cougar fans, that he comes back for his senior year. Hope and pray. Because this offense could be really good next year if Matt Bushman comes back. And that's why, again, this final stretch of games is so important for this BYU football team, because finish the season strong, you can get a lot of momentum on your side heading into next season, because BYU is a young football team. They have the chance to get 9 wins this season with primarily sophomores and juniors and redshirt freshmen. That's exciting stuff. And I would expect that the freshmen are likely going to get some run against the likes of Idaho State and maybe UMass coming up. So this is a program that can take a step forward if they finish this season strong. And hopefully you can get a guy like Matt Bushman back, because he continues to be great. He is just a big play waiting to happen if BYU can get him the ball in the receiving game. Also, speaking of the receivers, Micah Simon. I highlighted his touchdown pass earlier, took the hard hit, but what a night for him. First player since 1992, Byron Rex against Utah, to throw for a touchdown pass and also receive a touchdown pass. Micah Simon in his second to last game at home as a BYU Cougar ends up with 7 receptions for 91 yards and a touchdown. Mike is making plays. Credit to him, because entering his senior year, it was a case of he's got the talent, but is it going to show itself on a week-in, week-out basis in this program? And I think he's been great this year. I think he's done a really nice job. Consistently been a factor in the offense and made some big plays, made some chain-moving, keep the offense on the field type catches. Micah Simon has had a really great season. Even Aleva Hifo, too, another senior, 4 receptions, 62 yards. And Talon Shumway probably had the catch of the night. Talon Shumway extended a drive on a 3rd down, and before all that scrum play and all the fake field goal and all that, Talon Shumway allowed BYU to run off more clock with a great 3rd down grab near the sideline to move the sticks. So BYU's senior receivers doing some nice things, and it helped BYU come away with a 31-24 victory. Cougars going to take on Idaho State this Saturday in Provo. We'll have more coverage throughout the week here on KSLSports.com. Got to take a timeout, though. On the other side, we'll get to some BYU basketball thoughts and also women's soccer as well. This is the Cougar Tracks podcast, powered by KSLSports.com.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Welcome back in, Cougar Tracks podcast, powered by KSLSports.com. BYU football secured a victory to move to 5-4 on the season, but the BYU basketball team came up on the losing end. They fell to San Diego State 76-71 in a renewal of an old Mountain West Conference rivalry between the Cougars and the Aztecs. Good energy in the Marriott Center, despite kind of a late arriving crowd. I think a lot of people were thinking, I'll show up midway through the first half, and so I'm not spending 6, 7, 8 hours in Provo, which, hey, I don't know why. It was a great all-day event for me. I enjoyed it. I was there in Provo from 1 o'clock after Cougar Sports Saturday all the way to 12:30 a.m. I loved it. Hey, I love my job. I got the best job in the world to me, and I enjoyed it. But, hey, some people, they don't want to be there all day. I get it. It's okay. But it was a little bit of a late arriving crowd. Good energy in the Marriott Center once again, and it was a fun game. BYU and San Diego State, can we get that game on the schedule every single year, like for real? Because that is a fun, fun matchup that really just has a lot of juice to it. I mean, that was a game in early November, game number two of the college basketball season for BYU, and it felt like it should have been a late February game with something at stake in the conference. It felt good. I like those matchups with the San Diego States, the UNLVs, because one, there's a little bit of that hatred element to it. You saw some San Diego State fans in the Marriott Center. They were trying to be as vocal as they could be and kind of stir the pot. You could tell from a distance. They were up behind the hoop around the portal entrances, and they were just looking to kind of stir the pot. And after San Diego State would hit a big three, they would look around at BYU fans to try to egg them on. It's like, come on, just sit down. Like, you guys are, the show is a flat out no show anymore. But hey, I digress. San Diego State is a good basketball team. They got a lot of good players in their program. Dutcher has built up a nice roster, and they got old in a hurry. Malachi Flynn, KJ Fagan, Shackle, they were really good, and BYU just had no answer for them. This was a game where you had some promise for this BYU basketball team. Like, they go on that 21-3 run in the second half, and you're thinking BYU's going to get this game done. They're going to get the job done and take down the Aztecs, but they faded down the stretch. San Diego State closed out the game on like an 8-0 run, and BYU just had no answer, and they came up on the losing end. And this was Mark Pope in the postgame press conference on what went wrong down the stretch for his club.
Well, there was a lot. So we just could not locate Shackle. It was really hard for us. We could not grab a rebound. It was really hard for us. We got a little sticky offensively. I mean, come on, you guys can see it just like us. The whole first half, we were a little sticky. I mean, clearly, it starts with rebounding the ball. It was just hard. We got out-rebounded by 16. We got offensive out-rebounded by 14, I think. The boards was just a massive issue. A stop doesn't count unless you get a board. And so I got to find some solutions for our team where we can actually function there. And, it's not a coach's job is not to tell his team what to do. A coach's job is to, like, put it inside them so it becomes a part of them. And that I failed to do tonight, and I'll do a better job. So of course we have to rebound the ball. There was rebounds all through the game that were kind of defining rebounds that we just couldn't quite come up with, that we have to come up with, because we are going to become a great team. And for us to become a great team, even with our diminutive size, we have to find a way to rebound the ball with a mob mentality. So we have to solve that first of all. Obviously, 20 was a real issue for us just finding him. And that's a problem with me in terms of having my team disciplined enough to understand what's happening, and that when we say, you can tell your guys, hey, this guy's getting no more shots, under no circumstances getting more shots, but that's not a coach's job. A coach's job is like put it inside their DNA where it becomes a part of them, and I failed to do that tonight also. So those are two issues. And the third one is this: the ball got a little sticky for us. We kind of got a little anxious. We kind of forced it a little bit. We had to break away a layup that we probably made a poor decision on. We missed a couple free throws. We missed a couple soft shots. We didn't get to the offensive glass, and so we kind of stalled scoring the ball down the stretch. Probably my play calling can get a little better. Our stickiness can get a little better, and we'll solve that. All these things are things that we have to solve. That's our job.
Good stuff there from Mark Pope. I thought that was very honest answers, and I feel like he's going to get a fix. He's going to find some answers somehow, some way, in these next seven games without Yoeli Childs to get some answers on the glass. Because, yeah, total rebounds, BYU out-rebounded by San Diego State, 43-27. Cougars were minus 16. There's your ball game right there. BYU was up 69-65 after the under four media timeout. San Diego State called a timeout, and then out of that timeout, that number 20 for San Diego State that, as Mark Pope mentioned, they couldn't find, Shackle, he hit a big three to cut down the deficit for the Aztecs to 69-68. Then Dalton Nixon had a critical miss that was, I think he would have loved to have had it back. It just, like, it felt like it just kind of came off a little early for him. It was a tough miss, and then San Diego State missed a layup. Then the refs called a bump foul on Celius because BYU couldn't get the defensive rebound. San Diego State went to the line, got up 70-69, and BYU, like Mark Pope said, the offense just got a little bit sticky on them, and they couldn't close the thing out and win that ball game. And San Diego State comes away with their first win in the Marriott Center since 2005. Jake Toulson, I thought, had a nice game for BYU, 18 points, 7-13 from the field. Looked like the Jake Toulson that was the WAC Player of the Year a season ago at Utah Valley. He had a really nice second half. BYU outscored San Diego State in the second half. Another key component to this game that I thought was notable, the end of the first half, San Diego State closed like a 7-0 run. Closing the half strong. You got to close. You got to be finishers. This BYU team's got to learn that. It's a tough lesson to learn, especially when you lose at home. That's what makes it difficult, too, is that you don't get many great opportunities against really good teams at home. You got to capitalize when you get those games at home. But I will say, if you have Yoeli Childs, you're winning that ball game. And that shame on the NCAA, because this team would have won that ball game with Yoeli Childs, point blank. I think that was a promising game for this BYU basketball team. That 21-3 run, it showed you what they are capable of, even without Yoeli Childs. There's going to be some growing pains. You know, Colby Lee, he's got to get rebounds. Only one rebound. He's got to step it up. Barcelo, got to be a little more efficient at times. He's got talent, though, galore. TJ Haas, got to be a little bit more efficient, too. He had two costly turnovers in some big situations, but he ended up still with 13. Got to shoot a little bit better clip. And the team as a whole got to shoot a better clip. 33% from the field, from the three-point line, excuse me. When Yoeli Childs is out, BYU's got to shoot north of 40%, in my opinion. I asked Mark Pope about that, and he's like, you know, got to get better on the glass. And I think that was the biggest reason for this loss. But still, BYU's got to shoot around 38, 39, 40% at a minimum to be winning these ball games against teams that have a lot more length, a lot more size than that of BYU. But the Aztecs, I got to say, I mean, you look at the Mountain West Conference, they got to be in the mix to potentially win that league this year. Nevada is down. UNLV, who knows what you're going to get with them. The Aztecs might be the best in the Mountain West Conference, so might not look like a terrible loss down the road, but still, heartbreak for BYU to lose that game the way that they did in the Marriott Center. But it was a good game. I thought it was a lot of fun, up-tempo, good energy. Once again, like I said, it should have been a late February, early March game rather than early November. Before we close things out here on the podcast, I want to give a big shout-out to the BYU women's soccer team, 18-0-1, the only undefeated team in women's college soccer this year, as Virginia, the number one ranked team in the country, lost on Sunday to North Carolina. So BYU ends the season as the only undefeated team heading into Selection Monday for the women's NCAA soccer tournament. So very curious to see where they end up in seeding. BYU's RPI is the big hanging up point for this team. They're number 13 in the RPI heading into Sunday. We'll see where it all shakes out as far as the RPI rankings go into Selection Monday, but still, BYU should be a host team in a regional. The last time they did that was back in 2012. You cannot tell me an undefeated season doesn't warrant being a host team for a regional. Give some credit where credit is due. Give them a regional, and I'm curious to see what Jen Rockwood's team can do if they can host that regional. Last time they did, they got to the Elite Eight and lost to North Carolina on South Field. So, amazing season. First time in BYU women's soccer program history that they get an undefeated season, 18-0-1, the only draw coming up against Santa Clara in West Coast Conference play. So amazing season for Jen Rockwood's program to get that undefeated season, and now they'll wait for tomorrow to find out where they will be playing, who they'll be playing in the women's NCAA soccer tournament. And we'll have coverage of that here on KSLSports.com and here on the Cougar Tracks podcast. But that's going to do it for this episode of the Cougar Tracks podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. Follow me on Twitter at Mitch_Harper. Follow KSL Sports on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Download the KSL Sports app and make sure to subscribe. Leave a rating and a review for the podcast. It helps out the show a ton. I'll talk to you tomorrow, recapping Kalani Sitake's press conference and getting ready for Idaho State Week and talking some BYU basketball here on the Cougar Tracks podcast, powered by KSLSports.com.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.